Welcome in, everybody. All Pro Lines, the podcast. I'm your host, Kostaki Economopoulos, and we're doing a little off-season podcasting today. We don't do that much, and I don't know. We do about once a month. Welcome in. Thanks for being here. It's a little bit of a weird time. It's not what we usually do, but we're doing it. Jerry Oliver, I was thinking maybe I'd get you in here. Hey, buddy, I appreciate it. Just happened to be on the porch recovering from race day. Yeah, I bet. An Indiana boy. It was a big day in Indiana yesterday. Yeah, and happy Memorial Day to everybody out there. And thank you to the folks who have worked hard to take care of things for us. There's some football going on in the world, football news, and I haven't talked to you guys in a while, so I want to do a podcast. I think we're going to get Brian Miller here, although I did kind of goof around with the time. We'll see if we get him. We'll probably get him. I'd say we get him. He's a good dude. I'm all Georgia'd out today. I got my newfangled Georgia championship hat and my old-fangled Falcon logo shirt. Since I saw you guys last, lots happened. Andreas and I went to the draft in Kansas City. It was awesome. It was so much fun. Yeah, somebody was asking me, like, what do you do? There's not a game. What's the appeal of going to the draft? What's the big fuss about it all? You know, it's hard to put your finger on. I think part of the fun of it is there is no game. It's no one can lose, and everyone's there wearing their Vikings shirts and their crazy Bears jerseys and their silly outfits, and it's almost like Comic-Con. It's like it's football nerd like convention. Everyone who's there knows more about football than the average bear, and they know what they want for their teams, and there's just this open sort of conversation. People are self-deprecating about their teams, and everyone's just in a good mood and running around. It's a time of hopefulness, you know, for your team. And it's like a little island of football news in the off season, and I just love it. And Andreas and I have gone a couple years now, and we're going to go next year to Detroit. It's just, and we're both poker players, so it's fun to like pick a poker room and run around, go to the draft, and then come back to the poker room and drink some beer and play cards and talk about life and wear our Falcons gear and talk to whoever's there at the table. The Kansas City fans are living large right now. Oh, my goodness. They're having a good life. I mean, they've been hardcore football nuts for always, and their team's been terrible for a big chunks of the last couple decades. And now they are at the top of the pyramid, man. The best quarterback, certainly right now, and you could argue, you know, bigger than that. Great coach, great situation, likely to be good for a long time. We were at the poker table, and there's some Chiefs fans there, and the go-to question is to ask people what you need, you know, when you're talking draft. And we asked one guy what the Chiefs need, and he goes, competition. That's that's a good line. Jealous as a Falcons fan. Never been able to say anything even a little bit like that. Jonathan, hey, what's up, man? He says the fun's booing the commissioner. Yeah, that's fun. I think the commissioner's fine, but the tradition of booing him has become fun. I agree with that. We had one of the funniest things that happened while we were there. In my opinion, it's pretty dark, but so we're in throngs of tens of thousands of people, like going up this beautiful grassy hill up to the memorial. It was in a cool spot outside, and about midway through the first round, you probably saw this if you watched the draft, a kid like maybe 13, sort of preppy looking with some floppy hair, comes bouncing out onto the stage. He's kind of hyping up the crowd. And there was a dude kind of near us. He goes, somebody smack that kid. We got some giggles from around the area we were standing. And then they introduced him as being with the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Oh, the laughter got heartier and darker after that. Andreas went over to give him extra shit about saying that. It was fun, man. We enjoyed it all. What else happened? There was some kids from USC. Some reporters got arrested for stealing first round jerseys. I think they should make an ad for NFL Shop out of that story, right? They had the kids standing there in their jerseys, you know, that they stole. We had to smuggle into the credentialed player area and grab these and sneak them out of the building. And We kept him at the hotel for a couple days. Then we got arrested at the airport. Then there's a little kid standing next to him with the same shirt. I got mine at NFLshop.com. Yeah. All right. So I just got back from Louisville. It was great. It was the crowds were a little smallish because it was the holiday weekend. It was like 77 and gorgeous out a couple of the days. But the people who came were great. And that club's got a lot of heart. It's been there since the early 80s. Anyone who's anybody who's been through that club, and Roseanne used to work there a lot, and Tim Allen, and you know, all the giants of comedy have been through that place. It's got some guts and some history. And in the old days for me, like, you know, just in my career, I don't know, 20 plus years ago, you would go there and do a 7-minute set. You had to book it like 6 months out. They would occasionally do these showcases, and they booked like 10 rooms all over the place. So if you could crush that, it could change your life. I mean, that's what I remember going up there and being nervous and doing my set. It was sort of like, nah, I didn't really nail it or whatever, but I ended up working for those guys eventually, and talking to the crazy owner. Tom Sobel was there for years and years and years. I did some of their other satellite sort of gigs around. And what's up, Ron Milford? And Terry Menge, M-E-N-G-E. Is that pronounced Menge? Is it Menge? What's up, Terry? Terry says Bears coming through. Hey, look, I got a new backdrop. I'm try to catch less shit from Tom Griswold. I'm gonna eventually have like three different stages of places I could be, kind of mix it up a little, but this is my first one that's got a little something. Anyway, most of you aren't watching, you're listening. I got a backdrop for those of you listening. It's wood panel. Let's do some jokes. Where's my music? Where's
the
my music?
2-minute drill.
Bill Safety, DeMar Hamlin says his charity has big plans for using the millions in donations. First step, keep them away from Brett Favre. That's your first step. That's what you got to do. The Falcons are playing the Jaguars, Wembley Stadium, 9:30 a.m. Eastern, right? They got a London game. 6:30 a.m. local time for me in California. You thought the Falcons games were normally a snooze fest. I might have my CPAP machine still on. My sweaty thighs just laying there. Aaron Rodgers and the Jets are going to play the Dolphins in the first ever Black Friday game. No travel issues for Rodgers because he never spends Thanksgiving with his family. So it'll be no problem. Former Falcon Calvin Ridley is going to be wearing jersey number 0. I guess to help remind him that how many bets he should make on NFL games. 0. I'm taking the over. 0 is also the number of catches and yards and touchdowns and dollars he got last year. Suspended Lions wideout Jameson Williams claims he didn't know the gambling rules, to which I can only respond with, want to bet? I saw an article called One Question Still Facing Each NFL Team. And weirdly, the Falcons question wasn't, what the fuck are we doing at quarterback? I know Andreas thinks we got to give Ritter. I'm rooting for the guy, but I don't think he's the answer. We'll see. Tom Brady's going to have a small ownership stake in the Raiders. That's nothing. He completely owned the Jets, Bills, and Dolphins for 15 years. They asked the Cowboys GM about the kicker, and he said, and I quote, you ready for this? Anybody else on earth who is not on the team right now is under consideration. Yikes. Yes, if you're the Cowboys kicker, it is time to get your resume together. They say Gardner Minshew has taken Anthony Richardson under his wing. I've seen Anthony Richardson. He doesn't fit under Gardner Minshew's wing. Besides, Gardner has a lot of stuff under his wing. A mustache trimmer, some old jeans, a pair of scissors. You know, there's a lot going on. Just there. Tight end Foster Moreau signed a pretty big 3-year deal despite recently being diagnosed with cancer. So apparently he's okay. You love to see that. That's a great story. When I heard about cancer in the locker room, I thought somebody re-signed Antonio Brown. Huh? Antonio Brown says he's going to play for the Albany Empire. Naturally, when I heard this, I thought, is that a prison team? Is that a rec team for a loony bin? No, apparently he owns this team. It's Arena League, I believe. And he said he was going to play this week, and then he didn't because he failed a physical. Like, you're the owner. You don't need to pass a... I don't know what he's... This guy continues to be a fucking lunatic. But he is going to scorch the poor DBs if he... if he gets onto that field. It's going to be kind of interesting to watch. What else we got here? The Eagles are going to play the Giants on Christmas Day. Eagles fans are ready. They're going to boo Santa Claus. That's going to be nice for them. All right, we got – I don't see Brian in the thing yet. Let's check on here. Yeah, this is probably my fault. We sort of vaguely talked about the plan, and then I threw it together sort of last minute here. Let's do this. Let's ask some questions of the peanut gallery. Jerry and Ron are always up for questions. Let's go. You got to do the music. If you're going to do the questions, you got to do the music.
All right, kids, put your thinking caps on. It's quiz time.
What redneck did that drop? All right. Which NFL team had a winless season 2008? Jerry, Ron, 2008. I reference this once in a while on stage when I'm working in that part of the world. Anybody know? There's only been a couple of these perfect seasons. The answer is the Detroit Lions. Ron guesses Tampa Bay. Jerry guessed Browns. Yeah, the Browns had a bet. That was more recently, though. The Lions were 2008. I think the Browns had a perfect season in like 2015, give or take, somewhere in there, I believe. All right, you guys answer faster. All right, here we go. Which NFL player holds the record for? Skip that one. Who was the first player in NFL history to rush for over 2,000 yards in a single season? That's kind of fun. Jerry says I'm hungover. Yeah, I imagine you are. I'm a little hungover too. I was playing poker last night, and it was great. My new life, man, it's nice. I'm playing a lot more cards. I'm playing Limit, and I'm crushing it and loving it, and it's been a pleasure. I go down there. They got good food. They feed me. They just bring food to the table. You can order drinks to the table. You can get a massage at the table. Just playing cards and making some money and goofing around, listening to music and podcasts. It's a good life. All right, Milford. What are you saying, Milford? 2003. Does that mean you know? You know the answer to this one? Oh, he says OJ. That's correct. OJ Simpson, first player in NFL history to rush for over 2,000 yards in a single season. It's pretty cool. He's done some running since, you know, from his past. Huh? I just wrote that. I'm a genius. Who was the first African-American head coach to win a Super Bowl? Again, I've got mixed feelings about parsing us into little groups for stuff like this, but this is kind of a cool, it's pretty cool. And I talked to him a couple months ago. Jerry Oliver got it. Dungy. Tony Dungy is the answer. What a gentle, thoughtful dude. I'm not sure I agree with him on all of his recent stances on things, but he is a wholesome person. I really enjoyed getting a chance to talk to him. Let's see what else we got here. This is interesting. Which team has the most regular season wins in NFL history? It's really about who's been around the longest and not been terrible, right? And if you go way back, I guess it depends on how you define what NFL history means. Jonathan's guessing Giants. Milford guesses New England. The answer I've got here is Chicago Bears. I guess they were one of the first teams. I think if you define it this way, the NFL started with about 10 teams, and they were one of those, and they've been competitive and present for years and years and years and years. Here's another fun one. This is up your alley, Milford. Who was the first player to rush for over 2,000 yards in back-to-back seasons? So that's it, OJ. Back-to-back. Who would you even put on the list for something like this? Barry Sanders would come to mind for me. Adrian Peterson, says Ron Milford. That's a good guess. Derrick Henry, says Jonathan. That's a good guess. This is old school glasses. Rams helmet. Eric Dickerson. Back-to-back 2,000. I mean, that doesn't even count receiving yards, right? Jesus, that was total domination. Was anybody playing fantasy then? If you had Eric Dickerson, you won. You won those 2 years. this is cool. Which team has the most interceptions returned for touchdowns in a single season? I'll give you a hint with the facts here. 2008, 10 interceptions returned for touchdowns. What the fuck? I mean, two or three is a lot in a season. Yes. Yes, Jonathan chimes in right away with Ravens, Ed Reed. That is correct. That is definitely correct. That's the team I want my Falcons to model themselves after. If you're really going to do it, if you're really going to have the game manager quarterback and the just run the ball 800 times a game plan with a great defense, you got to really do it. You got to get these super monster defensive players, these superstars. You got to really build a defense that good. And they haven't done that part of it. So, all right. Well, that was pretty cool. We did a little quiz time early. Still no sign of Brian Miller. That's all right. I guess I goofed up the time thing. So it goes. If we don't get Brian, we don't get Brian. If we get Brian, it'll be a pleasant bonus at the end here. All right, well we'll continue with the crowd interaction if you guys are up for it. We got a handful of you guys, you hardcores. I'm happy to have you guys here. Let's do another little intro here. We did.
Now it's time for which comes first. Oh yes, it's time for which comes first. Now tell me, will this happen before that happens? It's time for which comes first.
Did some scribblings on this on the airplane. Which comes first? DeAndre Hopkins signs with a new team. Or Antonio Brown actually plays for the Albany Empire. He said he was going to play. And then they sold they generally sell about 2,000 tickets to these games. They sold like 4,000 tickets to the game he said he was going to play in. And then he didn't play. He's such a jackass. But he said he's going to play. And he apologized for not playing. Whatever. This guy is just continuing to be a jackass. Ron Milford says Hopkins. Apparently, the story today is that there's a little bit of a bidding war between the Chiefs and the Bills over Hopkins. They're both be great landing spots. They're both contenders. They're two of the best quarterbacks in the league and make Hopkins happy. And they both want to not have the other team get him, you know? The Chiefs in particular, I think, could use one more stud wide receiver. They've got this plethora of, B-level dudes. And Kadarius Toney, if he's healthy, I suppose he could be the real one there. I think I agree with you guys. All three of you chimed in with Hopkins. You never know with AB. Maybe he'll. All right, here's a fun one. This is a story we're going to be watching for a while. Which comes first, a Brock Purdy start or a Trey Lance start? This will be a debate all summer long. I feel like they're gonna try to just keep going with Purdy. That's what I would do if it was possible. But if he's not ready, who do you put in there? They got the third one there too. What's his name? The the big name from the Jets that came in. And I suppose if Brock really is the answer, and you kind of know that in your guts from watching him at practice and based on what he did last year, then maybe you play Trey Lance for a few games and show him off to the league and then trade him. So that could be a strategic choice. All right, we're getting split votes here. Ron says Trey Lance. Jonathan says Purdy. Jerry breaks the tie with Lance. I think Purdy hurt worse than they think. Yeah, that might be right. Those are the kind of injuries that you don't know if they're going to be in time. They're bad for fantasy because you can't read them very well. All right, here we go. which comes first, a team based in London or Keith Richards dead? This is a perfect question for you, Ron Milford. Obsessed with death. I feel like we're going to have a Jaguars team in London in the next 20 years. Is that true? Does that seem right? Is that really going to happen? Or is that just the optics, right? Is it just the optics? we're splitting the votes here. Milford says London. Jerry says Keith will never die. Jonathan says Richard's kicking the can. Yeah, he's pretty old. I mean, even if you don't count the hard life, he's pretty old now. But I'm right in thinking we're going to have a London team. We'll see. We'll see. All right, Brian's texting me now. That's all right. He'll be here a second. All right, one last one of these. A live NFL game in Asia or South America? That's interesting, right? I feel like we're moving the ball on some of this, and you know, we did Mexico. London's been a big smash hit, and Germany has been a crazy gigantic smash hit. I keep reading these different things where they, based on the ticket inquiries and how fast they sold it, they guesstimate they could sell millions of tickets to an NFL game in Germany. So I think they got to keep going, right? They got to get out. Yeah, this is my goof, I think. Jonathan says Japan. That's not one of the answers. South America. Surely they're going to want to do a game in Brazil or something. Argentina. Brian's out mowing the yard. It's my fault. We'll cover it when he gets on. Jerry says South America. Ron says closer. I would love Canada. I wish we could do like hockey and have a Canadian team, and it'd be cool to have a Montreal team or Vancouver or Toronto or something. But they got to protect their own sort of football up there, their crazy rules. I like the idea of Canadian football. It's a little bit different. It's a lot more passing. They got these deep end zones. Is it fewer downs? Is it three downs? It's more. The receivers get a full running start. You know, you're allowed to run forward before the snap. That's kind of cool. But I believe their rule in Canada is they have to have at least 50% of their team are Canadians, I think, is their rule. It's something like that, if I don't have the number right. Jonathan says Japan is in Asia. Fair. I know what you're saying. I guess in my head, I imagine China. That's why I was stuck on that. The fun thing about football in China, it always comes with Jerry Rice. Huh? There's an old joke for no reason. And Brian Miller's in here. Look at this guy. He's all sweaty and shit.
You caught me off guard with the half-hour early start. I just ran 5 miles.
It's totally my fault. You know what happened? I had the time zones wrong. I basically I picked the time that you requested, and then I forgot that you're 2 hours difference.
Okay, so as long as it wasn't my screw-up.
No, it's not you at all. It's totally me. I blew it.
I got back, and I was like, doing my pulse check and making sure, you know, checking my heart rate. And I was like, I looked at my phone and I was like, oh, my heart rate should be higher perhaps because I'm late.
No, totally. So we did some of the segments without you. We did the which comes first and we did the quiz time. We handled it all. All right.
I like that you're saying we. You know, it's like you just
yeah, it's me and three dudes who the happen royal to be week. Available in the middle of a Monday with no warning.
Yeah, it is an intriguing podcast recording time.
Yeah, it's again, I'm going to figure this out. We're going to do it at the same time every week. What's the season?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I just figured this was just a perfect custody vector for you. You just didn't happen to have a kid.
Nah, it's funny. Touche.
That's just good dadding right there. You're like, hey, yeah. I got an afternoon.
Well, I can't do it later. It would interrupt my poker playing. And then, right. Got to figure it out. How's life, buddy?
Not too bad. You know, going. Football's. We're in my favorite time to not watch football. Like, at the beginning, at the end of the season, I'm always like a little exhausted with it, right? But then you always miss it a little bit. It's still winter. You know, you're cold. You have nothing to watch. You know, we're at the point where the weather's nice. I'm outside. I'm liking it. I'm not missing football at all because I've got something to distract me. This is about the month where I have that. And then usually starting around late June, I start kind of going like, man, I'd like to see some of these rookies maybe play a little bit, you know? And then by August, I'm just nuts for it. I'm ready.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think this is the month that it bothers me the least to not have it.
I'm still like reading about it, you know, keeping track with it. But I like the lack of urgency. It feels like this is the true off season, I think, is like May to late June.
Yeah. I've had a couple of slow drafts going for like fantasy weirdness.
Sure.
It's been fun. I love it. Hey, that's a plug for the sponsor. Check out, I'm blanking. What's our sponsor, Brian? What's the matter with me? I almost put the shirt on.
I think it's, is it Boeing or is it Blackwater? I remember
it's
it was
Underdog.
One of those...
It's Underdog Fantasy. Go to underdogfantasy.com.
I could have sworn it was Blackwater. That you were taking that dark money, you know?
Blackwater. That's a reference I haven't heard in a while.
Well, that's how they want it. That's exactly, you're playing right into their hand. You haven't thought about them. That's when they're working their hardest.
What a terrible opening to the sponsor plug. I'm sorry I forgot your name, but I am playing on the site right now. Go to underdogfantasy.com, and if you use promo code ALLPROLINES, they'll match your first deposit up to $100. You put in 70, they'll make it 140. Whatever you put in there, they'll double it. They're good guys, and they are the champion. They are the best place in the world to bet on best ball tournaments. So you have a draft for your fantasy players, and then you don't touch them for the rest of the season. They just pick the best outcome each week.
Oh.
And some of them are really big tournaments with huge payouts, or you can play small potatoes or whatever. Best ball is really fun. It's growing as a thing. And if you haven't tried it yet, give it a go. You don't have to trade anybody. You don't have to set any lineups. You just pick whatever it is, 25 guys, and then they're in there for the season. So
I like that because the thing that, well, I'm not a big fantasy guy, but the main thing that prevents me from doing fantasy is the constant tinkering.
Yeah.
The lineup tinker. Because I'm just like, I like the idea of the draft and I get the appeal of fantasy football, but it's like, dude, I got a lot going on. I can't add another thing to my plate where Thursday I've got to sit down with the injury reports and go over, you know what I mean?
Get it. I love that stuff, but I totally hear what you're saying. And that's the reason I was always dumbfounded that anybody could play, you know, fantasy baseball. Like, that's the rotisserie baseball. Yeah. Like, every day you got to figure out the pitcher and the thing. And it's like, and there's so many games and it's all summer. I mean, it's crazy. At least football, there's a cycle that goes.
Yeah.
It's every week there's one kind of peak moment. There's a Thursday and a Monday, but it's all kind of part of the same cycle.
If Roger Goodell gets his way, though, boy, it's not going to last that way much longer, you know?
Yeah.
Add three more weeks, get a Tuesday game and a Wednesday game going.
Oh, no. I saw that the Kelce brothers did their podcast this week, and they were saying – everyone wants a Thursday game. The guys who don't are just, they're trying to get headlines. He goes, we love Thursday games. He goes, when I'm home on a Thursday, I want to see a good matchup. I would love to have good teams play on Thursday.
I think from an audience perspective, I love a Thursday game. I don't,
Yeah, me too.
I also think one Thursday game is not that big of a deal. Because teams can only have two, I believe, right? In the whole season. There's not that many Thursday games.
I think that's right. I think they moved it to two and they could force it. And they were debating. I'm not sure if they landed on doing it where they could swap out the games.
They can. They are flexing it. Which here's the thing, that what bugs me about that has very slightly to do with football and almost all to do with Amazon complaining about their contract because they paid so much money. And then they got all those garbage games last season.
Yeah,
so sure it's really more for Amazon than anybody else. But okay, I'll go with two Thursday games. Okay. I don't think it causes quite as much disruption as maybe coaches want to make it seem. But boy, then you start tossing in, you know, we go around the holidays and all of a sudden it's a Monday and then it's a Friday. And then and they're pushing more for, I don't know, they're pushing more for all these different games. And then you throw the international thing into it, right? Now teams are flying back and forth to London. At a certain point, you're like, you gotta put these guys on more of a regulated schedule. And
I get that. I think that's a fair complaint. But my pushback as a fan would be, look, these things are harder for the players, but they're only happening once or twice a year.
Oh, suck I agree. It up, as long as it's only once or twice a year, I just foresee. With a little of the, you know, a little tinkering here, a little tinkering there. Goodell's always pushing it. The NFL's always pushing it. I can see it becoming, I don't know. Once you start blurring those lines, it's like, well, we already have three. What's another fourth one? Okay, just go to London on one of your slow weeks. We're not going to add a bye. Like, they should have added another bye week when they added that extra game. I really think they should have made it a 19-week season instead of 18.
I love that because then you have another week of NFL action.
That's exactly. Okay. So you get to stretch the season out, but you give these guys a little more time to heal and recuperate.
I think that's a win-win. I would love that. And selfishly, I like the Black Friday and the weird 9:30 game on Sunday from London. And, you know, I love a new window. And it's clearly a cash cow. So everybody wins, including the players, you know, particularly the players. So, And also, I think part of the reason they're flexing and doing everything it can to improve the Thursday thing is that's their first streaming. You know, there's going to be more streaming. And whether it's Amazon or somebody else, the NFL needs to prove to the world that there's real numbers with streaming.
And there are. I mean, those Amazon games get more viewership on streaming than like the number one show all week on TV.
I know. It's crazy. That's amazing considering, I mean, you know, like in the old days when you would compare cable to networks and blah, blah, blah. It's amazing that we've come so far that streaming can create legit giant numbers like that. And fucking Amazon got me, man. At the beginning of, like over the summer last year, I had this extended, my mom is somebody who always likes to like overthink all the minutiae in life and make good decisions. You know, so she convinced me.
So you got
me.
Half of her.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
You got the first half, right?
Oh, and then I do this. La, la, la. I was a chess player. How did I make so many screwy decisions?
But you're always thinking ahead.
Yeah.
You might not think right ahead, but you're always thinking ahead.
So mom convinced me that it didn't make sense to be a member of Amazon Prime. Ooh. So I ordered a ton of toilet paper and paper towels and all the things that I thought I might need for a while. I don't even have a big apartment. I just got these piles of things for the next year. And I canceled Amazon Prime. And like a month later, they're like, oh, all the Thursday games are on Amazon Prime. Motherfucker.
Okay, here's my prediction.
Back on.
Here's my prediction. This is a long-term prediction. The all NFL right. down. I can see the downfall of the NFL. I know what it is. It's inevitable.
What is it?
The downfall of the NFL is the temptation to launch their own streaming service where all football games are exclusively streamed through an NFL app that is NFL. So if you want to watch football, you subscribe to NFL. Machine. It's all their own machine. They take it off network because network's going to become a decreasing thing as a public
and they
utility.
They just get all the ad revenue directly.
And they get all the, and it's going to be great at first. It's going to be a money fountain. Because right now, all people really watch on network is sports, right? So you can see this. At some point, the sports guys go, wait a minute. We're all of network. Nobody cares about young Sheldon reruns anymore. They watch that on Hulu. And so they finally take their ball, as it were, and go home. And for a moment, it's great. But the thing is, as soon as you turn off the tap and that people don't get games they didn't know they wanted to watch, you've begun to limit your audience to hardcore football fans. And that begins the shrinking of the NFL, the nicheification of the NFL into the way that, like, say, baseball and hockey have become niche. And they lose that, like, total dominance, even though they remain the biggest sport.
That's interesting. I never heard this theory. I thought you were going to say concussions. That seems like the more obvious answer.
No, I think we kind of got, I don't mean we got past that, like, there's not still concussions. That'll come up later in my chat. No,
we did enough to make us feel like we did something.
Yes, yes. And I think very smartly, I think you're going to see high school football going probably to exclusively flag football within a few years, and tackle starts in college. And then you'll just have rookie NFL players who are crap tacklers for like a year or two. But that's smart. I'm fine with that, you know? But I really think it's not going to be the concussions. It's not going to be the deaths. It's not going to be the CTE. It's not going to be DeMar Hamlin. It's going to be that money, that streaming money is going to become just too hard for them to deny. But I still think the reason football is the success it is still the only sport you can get for free all the time.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. I'm like, you can watch some basketball on network, but not a lot. They don't show a lot of basketball. You got to get TNT. You got to get ESPN. You want to watch hockey? Good fucking luck. You get like 12 games a year on NBC on a Sunday, 15 games a year, couple of playoff games, Sunday afternoon, maybe Saturday afternoon. Golf, but who gives a shit about golf? I guess golf is actually probably the other one, but you know, college basketball and college football, I suppose, college, but pro sports have all migrated to cable networks for the most part. Baseball, you got to get like FS1 or something to watch the Twins games up here.
I haven't even noticed this because I don't care about those sports.
Exactly, that's it, right? Because it's niche, right? If you're a baseball nut, you get the cable or the MLB package, but football. Any old adult with rabbit ears, anybody with whatever watch system you have will support getting some football games.
Yeah, that's interesting. I was completely oblivious to this. I'm football only. I didn't pick it this way. It's just the only one I really ever connected with.
Well, me too. I mean, what I've always liked, I liked the sport a lot, but I've always liked the cycle of it. Because I love hockey, but it's like 82 games is too much to keep track of. In junior high, I watched a lot of hockey. Well, it's because I didn't have a car. I didn't have a girlfriend. I didn't have a job. You know, right. Life fills up and you're like, I don't have 87 3-hour blocks to watch this one team.
Again, I didn't grow up with it in my house, so it's part of the reason I didn't connect with it as much. But I always felt that way about baseball. There's how many games?
Oh, baseball is like hockey times, literally hockey times three almost, or two. It's bonkers. And people like I remember Mary Mack, the great comedian Mary Mack.
Yeah.
A few years ago, she goes, one of her goals, she's going to watch every single inning of the Twins the entire year. And she... Wow. She did have to obviously TiVo some games and go back and watch them, but she did it. And I was just like, Mary, that's too many hours.
Yeah.
That's right. She only did it 1 year, by the way. I don't think she ever did it. Yeah,
right. She lives in the woods. Right.
Right. But football is like, you can kind of ignore. I mean, it's like you watch the Vikings games. Like, I'm a Vikings guy. So I'll watch all their non-Sunday games, of course. And it's only a couple, a couple of three. You can just watch football Sunday from like noon to five. Even you pretty much get the whole thing in your head. You miss a couple of Sunday night games, a couple of Thursday games, but you keep up with the whole thing in a few hours in the span of essentially one really long, boring baseball game.
I do like that there's a rhythm to it, and it's a week to week to week kind of vibe. And in fantasy, most of the fantasy leagues are heads up. So I'm playing Brian this week. Next week, I'm playing Steve. So it's kind of compartmentalized on a week by week basis. And they even talk about it that way. Oh, it's week 17, And I dig that. And I get the appeal of the other sports and some of the other rhythms. I had a guy that I was buddies with, and he was telling me about his connection with his dad through the Detroit Tigers and, the nature of the season and having it on in the background on your way to something else. And it becomes a part of your life and the way that you talk and connect with the people around you. And I totally get that. That's just one that I didn't connect with. If my buddies were watching it, I would totally be nuts about Aussie rules football. That's a beautiful sport. It's awesome.
Yeah. It kind of sucks to be the only, like it sucks to be like the only guy you know who watches something, like sports especially. Like a movie, I don't care, I'll watch a movie, but like the whole thing of sports, it's a very communal thing. You want to like
talk
your friend whose team lost to your team
all the Uber driver, you know, talks you up on your way to the thing. And that doesn't happen with European soccer or Aussie rules or some of the things that I probably would watch more of if I had anybody around me who gave a shit, you know. It's interesting that it's the social part of it's what's appealing to me. I didn't realize that. Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to watch a golf, you got to hang out with a bunch of dudes with bone saws who kill American journalists and stuff. You know, it's like sitting on the couch watching Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and you watching Live Golf, seeing how the Saudis can launder all their money into American property.
My brother bets on golf. I was like, wow, that's a whole nother level of like, how do you even, it's just taste. I mean, if somebody could easily look at my crazy watching and betting patterns and go, what the hell are you doing with your life? So I get it. It's just my taste is football only. And, you know, that's where I landed.
But it's perfect because right now it's sunny and life's going on and I don't really need football. You know, I'm happy without football right now. Just to read about it, think about it a little bit, you know, but boy, especially when you live in Minnesota, November, December, January, it sucks. It's like such a great motivator where you're like, this week's terrible and it's really cold, but damn it, I'm off Sunday and I'm not doing anything. I'm going to watch like 5 hours.
It so speaks to your climate that you're like, it's sunny, life's good. It's very much,
Yeah.
It's sunny here, but it'll be sunny here in November and December, January. Yeah.
But if you think about it too, football really started in the Northeast. So football was kind of built around a kind of Northeast, Northern, Midwestern climate. You know, it kind of migrates down, and it migrates down south a little bit. Of course, in the South, everything's slow enough anyway. Sundays are still good, you know.
But a little bit. I don't know if you heard, some of the best football in America has been played
but it
in the
started in the Northeast, I believe, correct? I believe it literally, like college football. And the other thing, too, is
I don't know the answer.
I always think it's very interesting the way football in the South, if you say football in the South, you mean college football. And then there's also pro football.
Yeah,
you
know? That's right.
But if you say football in Minnesota, you for sure mean pro football. Also, we got a college team. They're pretty good.
Yeah, but Gophers?
Yeah. Oh, it's not that they suck. It's just that in the North, it's all about pro. And in the South, it's like college and high school. And, you know, I mean,
some of the Texas towns are big for high school. Yeah. I will occasionally be in some little town and be like, it's Friday night. Everyone's at a high school football. Anyways, that's crazy to me. I can't imagine anyone who wasn't immediately connected to the high school going to my high school, football games. We didn't have that where I was.
No, that was the deep South.
But I guess I get it. And to me, part of it is you have to be connected enough to the thing to care about the minutia, because part of the joy of it is this coach went here and this guy broke his leg and is he going to come? And Aaron Rodgers went into a cave and now what's he going to, you know, all these things, that's what makes it fun to follow. You know, this kid he dropped in the draft and is he going to come back and prove himself to be what you thought he was going to be when he was in high school? And that to me is the fun of it, the soap opera of it all. And that's part of the reason that I've always been fascinated with fantasy, because it's almost like the stock market. You're putting your chips down on this situation going, I think this is all going to come together over here. Mm-hmm. And then you get to watch it play out. It's fun.
Yeah. I definitely agree. Whereas there's not as much time for that in baseball, even though within the games, there's more time to like talk about stuff. Just sort of standing there, I guess. The pitch clock helped with that a little bit, but I was trying to explain to some friends of mine over the weekend on vacation. They were like, football just boring. And I was like, I totally get it. It's not for everybody.
Yeah.
But when you watch it enough, I used to be the guy who was like, come on, hurry up and do the play. You know, you always want to hit the fast forward button between plays or whatever, like red zone or, you know, NFL, those condensed games they do. But now it's like, once you get to know enough, you're like, no, the between, there's stuff going on, very important stuff in the between time, subbing out players, looking at the packages, watching the, watching the quarterback adjust the play. It's just that you do have to be pretty into the minutiae of that to appreciate that.
Yeah.
Whereas with, say, hockey, I think hockey is a great entry-level sport because, like, it's just like, just watch the puck. Watch the guy with the puck.
It's moving all the time.
It's moving all the time. Like, there's not, you know, the stoppages are brief. So football takes a little more dedication.
I get it. And if, when you run into Europeans, their complaint about football is, well, it's all set plays. Like there's all this, you stop every time.
Yeah.
But you know what the best plays are in soccer? The set plays.
Yes.
When there's a corner kick, that's when everyone stops and leans in. When there's a free kick, when there's a penalty kick, when there's a throw in, these are the moments where you kind of lean in and go, what's going to happen here? And I like the chess aspect of it, because you have this moment and you're like, we're going to win. We're going to do a play that they don't know what it is. And we're planning it. And we've been thinking about it. To me, that's part of the appeal of the whole thing. And of course, because I grew up with it, I like the rhythms of that, of being on the couch. And there's a play and a beat and a play and a beat and a play, you know, it's whatever is kind of baked into your, when you were 10, you know?
Yeah. And football is really the only sport that has genuine trick plays like you would see in like a comedy movie almost. Like, you don't see some baseball player like pretend to lose the ball under his hat and then tag a guy out. Like,
yeah, they should try that. They should.
Like in hockey, there's just not really like globetrotter-esque plays in like real basketball. They kind of just play basketball. Every now and then in football, like they'll just line up in some bizarre formation or like, The kicker throws a pass or whatever. You're right. Like, this is bonkers. Like, I love that, like, kind of kooky, like, every now and then, truly anything can happen.
I'm surprised that they don't do that more, especially at the college level with a program that's not really threatening to be top 25 anyway. Yeah. Fuck around. Be the Savannah Bananas of football. Why don't we have
totally.
That?
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. Of course, the extreme of it. You remember the famous Griff Whalen? It's often cited as the single worst play in football, where they were trying to line up this really confusing trick play, and I believe the backup quarterback, Griff Whalen, who did not play a lot, but it's where like Griff Whalen and two linemen lined up, and then all the rest of the line lined up way on the left side of the field. And if you Google it, it's an amazing play. It only happened like 6-7 years ago. And first off, the funny thing was the whole play was wildly offsides. Like you can't have the refs are just like, they have their hands on their flags looking at each other like, has anyone ever created a more offsides illegal play? Like it's a completely illegal play from the way it's drawn up, which was baffling. But they're trying to they're clearly trying to get like a bit of a false start or some confusion, create confusion on the defensive line. But then inexplicably, he snaps the ball. And so the center snaps the ball, and now he's just standing there with no line, and everyone just crashes into him.
Yeah.
And the announcers are like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah. There was a Pat McAfee play that was similar to that, right? That wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, that's right.
It was ugly.
I might be wrong about Griff Whalen, but I don't think I am. I think if you Google it, that was the – I mean, it wasn't his fault, right? Like, somebody drew it up, and he's like, okay. I don't know if he was supposed to say hike.
All Pro Lines researcher assistant Heather Saigo has jumped in here. In 1920, the American Professional Football Association, later known as the NFL, was founded in Canton, Ohio, greatly professionalizing the sport.
Yeah, I consider that. I guess I consider that kind of Northeast, though. I got to tell you, I know it's technically I'm Midwest, okay with that. But
the premise, you know, cold weather
and it kind of goes up into like you know Boston and New York.
The NFL merged with the American Football League, its rival in 1970, becoming the behemoth it is today, right? Closely related to ancient English sports, rugby and soccer, gridiron football originated in universities in North America, primarily the United States in the late 19th century.
I believe part of it was a military training, much like the Boy Scouts. You know, the Boy Scouts were a paramilitary organization.
Is that right?
The Boy Scouts
were a Hitler Youth kind of thing?
Well, I mean, a little bit, but not. It wasn't for a party, right? It wasn't ideological, but the thought was that you would teach these boys essentially woodland survival skills, basically all the stuff that's like the background of being a soldier.
Right.
So that when they actually went into the military academy or went into the draft, they would already have a lot of these survival skills that then you teach them to shoot the gun and the military strategy.
Right. It makes sense. I like the Cub Scouts. I mean, I see the appeal of that kind
of thing. I don't, no shade on them. We're the Girl Scouts. And football too, it was, you know, I mean, it's very militaristic, extremely militaristic. If you think about it with like the coach as the general, and especially when you think about what war used to look like, where you had like a line of British idiots and a line of American idiots, and we all stood in a line and just shot at each other standing still until everyone fell down and stuff. that's kind of football, right?
Yeah, that's funny.
There's a really great book called Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk by Ben Fountain, which is about football and the military. Beautiful book. Great book. Highly recommended. But really early on, he has a great breakdown of a military guy's perspective of what's right and wrong with football and about how it's everything that he loves about life and everything he hates about the military combined into one thing. It's beautiful.
Hmm. One last research note from Heather. Thanks, by the way, Heather. It's good to see you in here. November 1869, players from Princeton and Rutgers held their first intercollegiate football contest. New Brunswick, New Jersey. There you go. That's kind of along the lines of what you had.
Yeah, I think of it. You know, it's funny, too, that football was so much a collegiate sport up until, I mean, obviously there's still college football, but like the main association with football, I would say up until the 50s and the 60s, like if you watch old movies, it's all tied in with college. Like Buster Keaton has a movie about trying to join the college football team. Harold Lloyd, the silent comedian, has a movie about being the big man on campus. And part of that is specifically the football team. You know, in Catcher in the Rye and the Salinger stuff, they're always going to the big college football games. Whereas baseball was like, you don't got to go to college to play baseball. You play baseball, right? It was much more the everyman sport.
Right, right. Well, that's interesting. Yeah.
And now you've got to be Cuban to play baseball. And you have to go to college to play football.
And the first guy ever drafted in the NFL ended up never playing a snap of football.
Really?
He made more money at the rubber company and he opted out.
That's well, you hear story. About even the first Super Bowl, even when the NFL was like, you know, the NFL and Babe Ruth was getting paid decent money for baseball and all that. And it was like, yeah, they made $7,000 a year. Most of them worked at a box factory in the summer. And,
you know, right. It was like, right. Oof. Yeah. I know. Right. I get it. You know. Oh, Heather posted the Griff Whalen's gaffe.
It was Griff Whalen. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see if we could. I don't know if I can. Can I bring it up here? Not easily. I don't have any skills.
I don't either. I'm just impressed.
Where's Aaron Hodges when you need him?
Yeah, this is an Aaron thing. I'm impressed that I remembered it was Griff Whalen, though.
That's impressive. That's a really weird name.
Yes. That's why I remembered it, because I remember thinking he sounded like a Harry Potter character.
He does.
Griff Whalen's a real Hufflepuff, you know?
We got to get going, man. Tell me, where can people find you? Where are you telling jokes? Where do they follow
you? Good news. My album is finally coming out after pandemic delays and all manner of delays. My new album will be out on June the 16th. It is called All the New Ugly People. It'll be out the 16th. I'm doing a CD release party at Comedy Corner Underground on the 16th and 17th of June. And then I am headlining Acme August 29th, 30th, 31st, and September 1st, I believe. August 1st and September. I'm working on my new hour. I'm kind of debuting the new hour at Acme at the end of August.
Nice. Good for you, man. Still working.
Yeah. So old hour released to June 16th, new hour debut August.
Most of the listeners have known you and know your voice and know you for a long time. Brian's one of the great comics out there. So, you know, get his album, check him out. I'm floating around. I'm going to Greece this week. I'm very excited about that. And then when I come back from that, I'm going on sort of a comedy / boys trip with Glenn Grizzard.
Nice.
We're going to Key West and Charleston, South Carolina, and probably Hilton Head and Concord. Oh,
that sounds fun.
North Carolina. Almost a month of really fun stuff coming up, so I'm excited about it.
I thought about you. I was watching a Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants and Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants Part 2, which are set in Greece.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I've actually seen those.
First off, lovely movie. The girls, they learn about love, they learn about life, they grow, and they grow together. I really enjoyed the film. But Alexis Bledel, lovely. Picture of loveliness. But beautiful Greece scenery. And the whole time I was like, damn, I got to go to Greece. This looks
great. Oh, Greece is great. I can't wait. I'm so excited. All right. Thanks for coming on, man. Sorry I screwed up the times. Yeah. And thank you guys for jumping in here, particularly the three or four of you who answered the questions and did the research. Jerry and Heather and I appreciate you guys. That's really, really kind to have you here for this. Jerry, drink some more water and some Gatorade. Jonathan, thank you. Thank you guys for listening. That's what most of you guys are doing. We appreciate it. We're going to come back to you about once a month for the next couple months, and then we're going to go back to weekly during the football season. Appreciate everybody. Hope you get what you want in your football news in the next little stretch here. And let's do a little outro music, shall we? This is a little leftover from the Aaron Hodges era. Thanks, guys.